It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. We are going to have a serious discussion today about what the candidates said regarding abortion. This is Michael Brown. This is The Line of Fire broadcast. Here's the number to call to weigh in. If you watch the debate, specifically when it came to the issue of abortion, that's what we're focusing on. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Also, remember, we're about to send out our September Frontline newsletter. What's today's date? September 11th. Of course, how could I ask what's today's date? Been thinking about it all day. So it'll be a few days from now, we send out the Frontline newsletter, and we want every one of you to get it. It's going to be a very, very important issue on Israel. Of course, it's free. It's digital. Here is how you get it. Go to thelineoffire.org and click subscribe. Thelineoffire.org. Click subscribe. Of course, as we reflect on 9/11, as Nancy and I always talk about these things, with her brother dying that day, just having to be in the World Trade Center that day for a presentation, you know, all the what ifs, leaving behind his wife and two kids. That the wound is an open wound for so many that lost loved ones, so many whose lives were devastated, kids that grew up without a father, without a mother. And you think it's just raw hatred. It is raw demonic hatred expressed through radical Islam. It's not like you've got a neighbor who's attacking you physically, and in self-defense, you fight them off, and in the process, the person gets killed. Or you've got someone breaking into your house, and they're going to try to kidnap one of your children, and you're able to shoot them and stop them before they do. We're not talking about taking of life that has justification, or even in the midst of a war. We're talking about just raw, murderous hatred. But that's who Satan is. It's expressed through radical Islam. And then ultimately, it's a battle about America, but a battle about Israel. Let's not forget, it was a spiritual battle above all, with horrific, horrific consequences for so many. Think of how traumatizing that was for us. Now, in terms of scope, in terms of numbers of people, multiplied over and 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 over again, that ended thousands and thousands of hostages, say, taken to Afghanistan and rotting there. That's what Israel's experiencing now in the aftermath of October 7th. In relative proportion, ghastly evil, both at the hands of radical Muslims. May God continue to bring healing and restoration and life and hope to those whose lives were so destroyed and affected on that day. And may the gospel continue to spread in the Muslim world, including radical Muslims. I have met with former terrorists who are now lovers of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. I only watched the first half of the debate last night. I've heard, of course, from many and from colleagues moments ago that the second half was much worse, especially if you're a Trump supporter. I am not a political pundit. I am not a political expert who can weigh in on polls and trends and things like that. It's not my calling. It's not my gifting. It's not what this broadcast is about. We intersect with politics because politics intersects with morality. Politics intersects with culture. Politics intersects with the future of the nation. So politics intersects with the gospel. It is not the gospel. And I'll give you some very clear and definite distinctions about that. Politics is not the gospel, but it intersects with issues that tie in with our lives, and where it does, that's where I primarily comment. That's my niche. That's my calling. That's my lane. So let's focus in on the debate about abortion, and we'll play four clips for you. Now, of course, It was absolutely horrific and shocking that the ABC moderators impacted the debate the way they did. By inserting themselves in the midst of it, it's absolutely absurd. And I've never seen anything like it, where Donald Trump would say something and moments say, well, actually, factually, that's incorrect. And even their fact check can be challenged. But, okay, so when they did that, I thought, all right, that's odd, but fair enough. Now, Kamala Harris said something that we know is factually false, but they didn't fact check her. Was it four times they fact checked Trump and didn't fact check her a certain time? Now, that's not a surprise, given that it was ABC, which is anything but neutral here, just like if it was on Newsmax, you wouldn't expect them to be neutral. You know, they'd be leaning to the right. But in any case, it was shocking for professional journalists, just shocking. But that's another story. The issues are still the issues. But the journalists aside, the issues are still the issues. So here is clip number one, as Donald Trump has asked his view.
I want to turn to the issue of abortion. President Trump, you've often touted that you were able to kill Roe v. Wade. Last year, you said that you were proud to be the most pro-life president in American history. Then last month, you said that your administration would be great for women and their reproductive rights. In your home state of Florida, you surprised many with regard to your six-week abortion ban because you initially had said that it was too short. And you said, quote, I'm going to be voting that we need more than 6 weeks. But then the very next day, you reversed course and said you would vote to support the six-week ban. Vice President Harris says that women shouldn't trust you on the issue of abortion because you've changed your position so many times. Therefore, why should they trust you?
Well, the reason I'm doing that vote is because the plan is, as you know, the vote is, they have abortion in the ninth month. They even have, and you can look at the governor of West Virginia, the previous governor of West Virginia, not the current governor, who's doing an excellent job, but the governor before, he said the baby will be born and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby. And that's why I did that, because that predominates, because they're radical. The Democrats are radical in that. And her vice presidential pick, which I think was a horrible pick, by the way, for our country, because he is really out of it. But her vice presidential pick says abortion in the ninth month is absolutely fine. He also says execution after birth, it's execution, no longer abortion, because the baby is born, is okay. And that's not okay with me, hence the vote. But what I did is something for 52 years, they've been trying to get Roe v. Wade into the states. And through the genius and heart and strength of six Supreme Court justices, we were able to do that. Now, I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. I believe strongly in it. Ronald Reagan did also. 85% of Republicans do exceptions. Very important. But we were able to get it, and now states are voting on it. And for the first time, you're going to see, look, this is an issue that's torn our country apart for 52 years. Every legal scholar, every Democrat, every Republican, liberal, conservative, they all wanted this issue to be brought back to the states where the people could vote. And that's what happened. Now, Ohio, the vote was somewhat liberal. Kansas, the vote was somewhat liberal, much more liberal than people would have thought. But each individual state is voting. It's the vote of the people now. It's not tied up in the federal government. I did a great service in doing it. It took courage to do it. And the Supreme Court had great courage in doing it. And I give tremendous credit to those six justices.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's...
All right, so that's where ABC News journalist inserts herself. All right, so a few things, as happened throughout the debate and the part that I watched, but fairly standard, the candidates would still not answer certain questions directly, even when pressed to ask them directly. But let's deal with what President Trump did say. Is it true that under Roe v. Wade, that, and then as it was reinforced with subsequent Supreme Court decisions, is it true that under Roe v. Wade, technically, you could abort a baby in the ninth month? Or the laws that were passed in New York City couple of years back. Some other states, reactionary, obviously, in terms of pushing in the radical extreme opposite of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Was it law that you could have not just third trimester abortion, but let's just say you're a week from delivery and the mother is having a nervous breakdown and cannot have the baby. Could you terminate the pregnancy under that law? Yes, you could. That's a fact. There are states in which you could do that today under the law. Secondly, President Trump did accurately quote former Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who himself has a medical background, and he was talking about, it was on a radio interview, I played the clip, we made sure the context was right. It was on a radio interview that he was asked, what happens to a baby that survives an attempted abortion? That's the one thing President Trump didn't bring up. Survives an attempted abortion. Can that baby be, by law, will you say that baby must be saved? That's the Born Alive Protection Act. There are other names that has come forth in it, but and that was vetoed. That was vetoed under the Clinton administration because, well, that's just another backdoor way to try to overturn Roe or take away a woman's right to choose, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is that he said the baby would be put aside and then discussion with the parents to decide what to do. So the baby survives abortion. He would not say, of course, 100% under the law, that baby gets to live. You have to ask all those that voted against the Born Alive Protection Act why they voted in that way. Also, as far as Tim Walz, this was, Kelly McEnany, who used to be press secretary for Donald Trump. The ABC moderator decided to inject herself into the debate. Here is a fact check on babies left to die after surviving abortion in Tim Walz's Minnesota. The Daily Signal reported on August 6th, 2024, under Governor Tim Walz, babies born alive in botched abortions were left to die. Then he removed reporting requirements. Under Governor Tim Walz, babies born alive in botched abortions were left to die. Then he removed reporting requirements. So this is true. Those things are true. And the Democratic policy is extreme and must be acknowledged as extreme. What about Donald Trump's own views? What about the idea of states voting? We'll come back to that and we'll go through the rest of these clips. Again, I'm simply commenting on the abortion issue. I'm not commenting on how to vote or how the overall debate went. I'm simply commenting on the responses of the candidates to these critical issues.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tribeta Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss, for some foolish reason, a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
NOPALEA is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. The rest of this month, we're doing something we've never done on the Line of Fire with a new book that's just come out or is about to come out. It's very important that we share this with you for two reasons. The book is important, and I believe it's going to be essential reading and help mold and shape hearts and minds in the days ahead in the midst of the culture wars in which we live. The book is Hearts of Compassion, Backbones of Steel, How to Discuss Controversial Topics with Love and Kindness. We will make, in this book, the case for abortion. We'll argue it from that viewpoint until it has your heart pulled. And then say, and here's how we respond. And here's why we respond in this way. The same with issues that divide us in America over race. The same with issues having to do with LGBTQ people and agendas. We'll talk about this in the book. You'll find it super helpful. Normally when a new book comes out, you pay a little more than the list price and you get a signed, numbered copy. And it's just kind of a collector's edition. We decided this time, let's do it differently, because we're in an urgent moment, an existential attack on the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, Jewish people worldwide. I just met with an Orthodox rabbi from Israel talking about these very existential threats. We want to invite you to partner with us this month as we push back against the rising tide of anti-Semitism and continue to share the good news of Jesus the Messiah with our Jewish people, uniquely on the front lines at a critical moment in history. And your gift of any size, we've got a scripture verse, I'm going to sign each book, your gift of any size to help us push back against anti-Semitism, reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel with the good news of the Messiah. Your partnership is so crucial this month. Stand with us, we'll send you the book for your gift of any size. Call this number, 800-538-5275, 800-538-5275. The book will be out early next month. We'll get it right out to you immediately, and I believe when you get it, you're going to want to get copies for others. But right now, stand with us in the sacred partnership for the well-being of the people of Israel, and we want to send you this book as a thank you gift, but also to sow into you. And it does tie in very, very definitely with the subject we're talking about today. All right, so before we go to the next clips, let's just talk a little bit more about President Trump's response so far. Overturning Roe was a momentous thing. Some pro-life activists believe it was one step too fast and that they could have just reinforced the Dobbs case in Missouri and then from there continued to chip away at Roe and then continue to get more grassroots support and then ultimately see Roe overturned. But when there was an opportunity to strike down this miserably bad law, this terrible law, obviously it was righteous thing to do and a major thing to do. So it puts things back to the states. That's where things stand. And that's where what President Trump is taking refuge in right now, that it has gone back to the states. And so the people can vote. The people can decide. And if they decide they want abortion up to the ninth month in their state, or they want abortion up to the 15th week, or they don't want abortion at all, then the people decide and they vote. So it goes back to the states where it was before Roe. But ultimately, we need a revolution in thinking. We need a revolution of heart and mind so that there's a pro-life mentality, awareness. It used to be that people just said, it's just a clump of cells. It's nothing more than a clump of cells, and that's it. Well, now it's you can't say it's just a clump of cells because of 4D ultrasounds and everything else that we know, but it's come down to, hey, my body, my choice. My body, my choice. It's a woman's body. It's her choice. It's come back to, yeah, we know it's a baby in there, but it's our body, our choice. So hearts and minds need to be changed. Now, America is not the church, meaning we cannot simply say, well, the Bible says, therefore we live like this. We've got plenty of people that don't accept the Bible, don't believe in God, and they're equal citizens here, and they get a vote as well. A Satanist gets a vote the same way a born-again Christian gets the vote, the same way a Hindu gets the vote, same way an atheist gets a vote, the same way whoever you are gets a vote. So that's our system. That's how it's set up. So ultimately, that means we've got to continue to work hard in changing hearts, changing minds, changing lives, changing attitudes, because we would not be happy with every state gets to vote on segregation, would we? Every state gets to vote on slavery. No, we'd say these are moral evils that must be dealt with comprehensively. Unfortunately, there's not the ability to pass national laws without a national rebellion against it because the hearts haven't been changed on this. Now, what about the three exceptions? Well, unless you're a really strong pro-life person, you'll hold to these exceptions. And it's some of the stuff that I talk about in Hearts of Compassion, Backbones of Steel, where I make the case for abortion for, say, a 12-year-old girl that's raped by a serial criminal who just got out of jail, child molester who just got out of jail, and kidnaps her and rapes her, and then she finds out she's pregnant. I give all the reasons why you would say it's the compassion thing, it's the right thing. I go through all the reasons. I try to make the case as best as I can. And then say, well, why do we still say no to that? Why do we still say no? Because ultimately it's still a living human being that's been conceived, that God ultimately gave life to. That's the ultimate reality. And just like 99.9% of all people who say they support abortion would not support throwing a baby away afterwards, well, the girl gives birth at the age of 13 and she's traumatized by it, throw the baby away. No, they wouldn't support that. But we say you can't throw the baby away when it's in the womb. Moreover, we can talk about people who were conceived in rape who've been world changers, who've done a great thing, who've blessed many. So people like James Robison was conceived in rape. Jerry Hill, the wife of evangelist Steve Hill, conceived in rape. If those lives had been snuffed out, the world would have been impoverished because of it. Not only so, I bring in the testimonies of women who were raped, who had abortions, who said it didn't take the pain away. It didn't deal with what I thought the real issues were. So, again, I understand. I'm not in the least bit surprised that President Trump makes the three exceptions rule. Basically, it's the two where it's controversy, rape, incest, because virtually everyone would agree that if the only way to save the life of the mother, you've got to make a choice between saving one life or the other. So can there be abortion to save the life of the mother? Overwhelmingly, people would say yes to that. But I understand President Trump's position. He cannot say, though, he's the most pro-life president in American history. He cannot even say that he's strongly pro-life, even waffling on the Florida bill. And I don't think we ever got a clear answer from him as to why he said he would vote against it and then vote for it, which bans abortion after 6 weeks. So he cannot claim to be a strong pro-life president, and that plank in the Republican platform was removed. So some have observed that what all the Democrats and Democratic presidents and pro-abortion activists were unable to do, President Trump did. He changed the Republican Party platform. So we have to accept that and understand that's the reality. At the same time, that's roughly 1% of reported abortions would be tied in with rape, incest, or the life of the mother. So we come back, we will talk about the Kamala Harris response, her position. And then the big question comes up, what about a ban? What if by vote and then through Congress, there was enough power behind it to say, here's a federal ban on abortion by the will of the majority of the American people, a substantial majority. Would you sign it into law? It wasn't phrased like that, but that's the ultimate question. So we'll come back to this on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. 866-34-TRUTH. Well, at the rate I'm going, I may not get the calls, but that's the phone number anyway. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, we send out once a week an update. Here are my latest articles, latest videos, which can be 8 to 10 new free resources every single week. Every one of them is going to touch on something that you're dealing with in life, be it spiritual life, be it church life, be it the culture wars, be it Israel, be it all the world things taking place. So let us be of service to you. You say, what does that subscription cost? It's nothing. It's our way of serving you because of the generosity of others who sow into this ministry, who say, Dr. Brown, what you're doing is important. We get to sow for free into you. So go to thelineoffire.org, click subscribe. If you're ready to subscribe to the Frontline newsletter, you'll be getting that as well. All right, let's now go over to Vice President Harris and her interaction. This is clip number two.
Born, Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Well, as I said, you're going to hear a bunch of lies, and that's not actually a surprising fact. Let's understand how we got here. Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade And they did exactly as he intended. And now in over 20 states, there are Trump abortion bans, which make it criminal for a doctor or nurse to provide health care. In one state, it provides prison for life. Trump abortion bans that make no exception even for rape and incest, which understand what that means. A survivor of a crime, a violation to their body, does not have the right to make a decision about what happens to their body next. That is immoral. And one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government, and Donald Trump certainly, should not be telling a woman what to do with her body. I have talked with women around our country. You want to talk about this is what people wanted? Pregnant women who want to carry a pregnancy to term, suffering from a miscarriage, being denied care in an emergency room because the healthcare providers are afraid they might go to jail, and she's bleeding out in a car in the parking lot. She didn't want that. Her husband didn't want that. A 12 or 13-year-old survivor of incest being forced to carry a pregnancy to term. They don't want that. And I pledge to you, when Congress passes a bill to put back in place the protections of Roe v. Wade, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. But understand, if Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign a national abortion ban. Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages. I think the American people believe that certain freedoms, in particular the freedom to make decisions about one's own body, should not be made by the government.
All right, so first question, I'm going to start with the end first. What about the body within the body? What about the child within the body? All the rhetoric, all the arguments that were used there, and passionate and some articulate in terms of painting pictures. Some of them were misleading and false pictures, but articulate, painting personal pictures, which is very important if you're trying to influence people's thinking, not just abstract statistics, but real life, person to person, real life, heartfelt issues. What about the baby within the body? Let's just look at what happens in abortion. Kamala Harris referred to these things as health care. This is not health care. It's not health care for the baby in the womb. It's not health care. And a woman can make a decision about her body, but not about somebody else's body. Just like we could not make a righteous decision about a slave's body. You say, what's a body outside of you? Well, this is a body inside of you, a baby inside of you, a life inside of you, a child inside of you. That's the reality. So just a thought experiment here. There's a break in the debate, and now we're just going to watch for 15 minutes animated. So not gory, terrible detail, even with pictures of aborted babies, but just an animation of here's what happens to a baby aborted, say, at 8 weeks or 12 weeks, even at 6 weeks. This is what it looks like. This is what happens. It gets sucked out if it gets this. And this is a third trimester abortion, what it looks like. Now let's go back to the – everything would change. Okay, let's just – while Kamala Harris is speaking, let's show the ultrasound of the baby conceived in rape. And there's the beating heart, and there's the little baby and innocent and in the protection of its mother's womb. Why does that baby suffer because of someone else's crimes? So we still have to come back to that. As passionate as the arguments are, we need to go one step further. So that's the first thing. As far as lies, they both tell lies. No surprise, they're politicians. They both told lies. I saw one website that listed 21 things that should have been fact-checked that Kamala Harris said. And I don't know what the number is that Trump said. It could have been higher than that. But ABC News fact-checked him on four of those points and didn't fact-check Kamala Harris on any of hers. The idea that there'd be an abortion monitor under Project 2025, according to what I read, is documentarily false. At the same time, Trump has said repeatedly, it has nothing to do with Project 2025. If you go to the Kamala Harris website, where she lists, she will now list, these are our policies. Then they contrast with Trump's Project 2025. He has nothing to do with Project 2025. He said his intention, not even read it. He said there's good and there's bad in it, but it's got nothing to do with him. So this is just a lie. If you say, I'm not going to vote for Trump because of Project 2025, you're believing a lie. You may want to not vote for him for other reasons. I'm not debating that with you, all right? I'm not debating that. I'm simply saying don't say it's because of Project 2025. That's a lie. We'll come back to the national abortion ban in a moment. But remember, clearly, indisputably, Kamala Harris has said, we will reinstate Roe. So if you're voting for Kamala Harris, you are voting for, if she's able to do it, the reinstating of Roe v. Wade. This time it wouldn't be by the court. It would be by Congress as national law, which would mean all the pro-life laws in every single state. She said there are 20 with pro-life laws. They'd all go. They all would now be illegal and overturned by Congress. You just need to understand the weight of that. You say, yeah, but Trump's hardly a pro-life champion. I get that. I understand that. I understand that. I'm just talking about what's being said here. When Kamala Harris now brings faith in, you can keep your faith. Don't tell me I can keep my faith and have integrity before God and believe the Bible and believe in human life as I do, or the hundreds of millions of other Christians and even people of other faiths who feel the same way, we'll just deal with followers of Jesus. Don't tell us we can keep our faith and believe in the slaughter of the baby in the womb. Don't tell us that, because that's palpably false. Out of the gate, false. Oh, there are people who have religious faith that believe all kinds of different things. I get that. But don't say you can keep, no, you can't. We can't keep our faith and embrace abortion at the same time. Sorry. As for the idea that there are doctors, here's a woman miscarrying and they're afraid to help save the woman's life for fear that they'll be prosecuted for abortion. If that's the case, that is someone not operating under the law, not operating under righteousness, not operating under truth. I don't know. I haven't researched that to see if it's ever happened. But that's typical fear-mongering. And both sides use fear-mongering. No question. Both sides use fear-mongering. Okay. Let's go to clip number three as President Trump responds.
Thank you, Vice President Harris.
Well, there she goes again. It's a lie. I'm not signing a ban, and there's no reason to sign a ban, because we've gotten what everybody wanted, Democrats, Republicans, and everybody else, and every legal scholar wanted it to be brought back into the states, and the states are voting, and it may take a little time, but for 52 years, this issue has torn our country apart, and they've wanted it back in the states. And I did something that nobody thought was possible. The states are now voting. What she says is an absolute lie. And as far as the abortion ban, no, I'm not in favor of abortion ban, but it doesn't matter, because this issue has now been taken over by the states.
Would you veto a national abortion ban if it came
to
your
desk? Well, I won't have to, because again, two things. Number one, she said she'll go back to Congress. She'll never get the vote. It's impossible for her to get the vote, especially now with the 50-50 and essentially 50-50 in both Senate and the House. She's not going to get the vote. She can't get the vote. She won't even come close to it. So it's just talk. You know what it reminds me of? When they said they're going to get student loans terminated, and it ended up being a total catastrophe. The student loans, and then her, I think probably her boss, if you call him a boss, he spends all his time on the beach. But look, her boss went out and said, we'll do it again. We'll do it a different way. And he went out, got rejected again by the Supreme Court. So all these students got taunted with this whole thing about this whole idea, and how unfair that would have been, part of the reason they lost, to the millions and millions of people that had to pay off their student loans. They didn't get it for free. But they were saying it's the same way that they talked about that they talk about abortion.
But if I could just get a yes or no, because your running mate, J.D. Vance, has said that you would veto if it did come to your desk.
Well, I didn't discuss it with J.D. in all fairness. J.D., and I don't mind if he has a certain view, but I think he was speaking for me, but I really didn't. Look, We don't have to discuss it because she'd never be able to get it, just like she couldn't get student loans. They couldn't get student loans. They didn't even come close to getting student loans. They taunted young people and a lot of other people that had loans. They can never get this approved. So it doesn't matter what she says about going to Congress. Well, wonderful. Let's go to Congress. Do it. But the fact is that for years they wanted to get it out of Congress and out of the federal government. And we did something that everybody said couldn't be done. And now you have a vote of the people on abortion.
All right. So a few things. Ultimately, he twisted the thing upside down when they were asking, would you veto a ban on abortion, a federal ban on abortion? And then he said she'll never get it, meaning Roe reinstate it. So he ultimately twisted it. He said he wouldn't sign a federal ban, but would he veto it? Would he overrule it, right? So here's the issue here. He says everybody, Republicans, Democrats, every liberal scholar, everybody wanted Roe overturned so it would go back to the states. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. Plenty of pro-abortion people did not want Roe overturned. I would think the majority. And I'm sure plenty of legal scholars, even though they said it was bad law, plenty of legal scholars said, well, it's been decided, let it stay. And there's a subsequent decision that reinforced it. So that's inaccurate. But in Trump's mind, it's everything's all or nothing. It's everybody or nobody. It's the best, the worst. So that's another exaggerated statement. But here's how he could have answered the question about a federal ban on abortion. And in fact, I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to answer on the other side of the break. Here's how President Trump could have answered that question about what if a federal ban on abortion came to his desk and it was passed by Congress and he had to veto it. Would he do that? It's a simple answer he could have given. We'll be right back.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, I am commenting in a nonpartisan political way, meaning this is not pro-Trump, pro-Harris, or anti-Trump, anti-Harris. simply as a pro-life voter on the issue of abortion as it was discussed last night in the debate. So before I do that, just another reminder that all this month, for the first time ever, with my new book, instead of having to purchase a signed numbered copy to get kind of a collector's condition, this is yours for your gift of any size to help us with our outreach to Israel and our fight against anti-Semitism. It is a real life and death battle, and your support just helps us get to many more people, get out many more resources, raise a louder voice on all fronts, and we can be your voice. We can stand together. So to get your copy of Hearts of Compassion, Backbones of Steel, we'll have a scripture verse for everybody, and then I'm going to sign every book. Of course, we pray over these, and God would bless you as they go out. Call 800-538-5275, 800-538-5275. And as always, great appreciation, shout-out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. You're helping us stand on the front lines every day. Thank you for your sponsorship and your help. All right, so before we go to the last clip, here's what President Trump could have said. This is what he could have said when he was asked about signing a federal ban of abortion ban into law. He could say, it's not my agenda. My agenda was to overturn Roe, which was bad law, and get this back to the states so the people decide. It's not Washington that decides. The people decide. The men and women, the mothers and daughters, the fathers and sons, the people decide about this very difficult, very divisive issue. Each state can make its decision. All right. But would you sign it into law? Here's what he could have said. If the people of America say this is what they want, I'm the president of the people, and of course I would sign it into law. That's not my will. That's the people's will. So I was just reviewing this because, as you know, as I've said, I'm not a political pundit. I'm not a constitutional expert. Talk to me about the Bible, and we'll talk day and night, talk about things related to the Bible and the faith day and night, talk about congressional procedures and all that. I got to look them up, all right? So if there is to be a federal constitutional amendment, this is what's required. Are you ready? The amendment must be passed by both the House of Representatives and the Senate. In each chamber, a two-thirds supermajority vote is required. So you're talking about, so that would be 67 out of 100 in the Senate, and then do the math in the House. So tell me a situation now where something this divisive could actually get two-thirds of the Senate. So senators, state senators, two-thirds saying, yes, we agree to this. That we're nowhere near that as a nation. It would be wonderful if we were, but we're not. Hang on. Then after passing Congress, it must be ratified by 3/4, 75% of the state legislatures. So if we got to a point, friends, where two-thirds of Congress, of the Senate and the House, said, yes, we want to sign a federal abortion, a ban on abortion. Our people, the people of America, in a massive majority, compared to our votes, which are so razor sharp, an overwhelming majority say, enough with this. Abortion is evil and wrong, and we cannot have it. We can be compassionate to mothers and unwanted pregnancies and babies that were unwanted. We can be compassionate. We can have a culture of life, a culture of adoption. But abortion must go. Two-thirds. And then 3/4 of the states of America signed on to it. Then, of course, the president should say, yes, absolutely. For J.D. Vance to say he wouldn't sign it, that's absolutely wrong and foolhardy. Foolhardy. I think I need to write an article about that. But I'm sure others have commented. But that's the right answer. Now, having done debates many times, after a debate, I look back, think I should have said this, I could have said this. If you ever do a debate, You're always going to have that. I could answer this more sharply. Oh, I missed it. Oh, I didn't see that point there. I could have come at it from this angle. So I'm not attacking who got it right during the debate. I'm saying this is what the ultimate answer should be. This is what the answer upon reflection should be. Yes, of course I'd sign it into law because it's the will of the people of America, in overwhelming majority, the likes of which we've not seen in our lifetimes. All right, clip number four. Let's listen.
Vice President Harris, want to give you your time to respond, but I do want to ask, would you support any restrictions on a woman's right to an abortion?
I absolutely support reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America. And understand what has been happening under Donald Trump's abortion bans. Couples who pray and dream of having a family are being denied IVF treatments. What is happening in our country? Working people, working women, who are working one or two jobs, who can barely afford childcare as it is, have to travel to another state to get on a plane sitting next to strangers to go and get the health care she needs, barely can afford to do it, and what you are putting her through is unconscionable. And the people of America have not, the majority of Americans believe in a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. And that is why in every state where this issue has been on the ballot, in red and blue states both, the people of America have voted for freedom.
Vice President
Harris, excuse me,
you.
I have to respond. Another lie. It's another lie. I have been a leader on IVF, which is fertilization. The IVF, I have been a leader. In fact, when they got a very negative decision on IVF from the Alabama courts, I saw the people of Alabama and the legislature 2 days later voted it in. I've been a leader on it. They know that, and everybody else knows it. I have been a leader on fertilization IVF. And the other thing, you should ask, will she allow abortion in the 8th month, 9th month, 7th month?
Come on.
Okay, would you do that? Why don't you ask her that question?
Why don't you answer
that's the
question?
Problem.
Would you
because
veto?
Under Roe v. Wade,
answer the question,
you,
would
could,
you, veto?
You could do abortions in the 7th month, the 8th month, the 9th
that's
month,
not true.
And probably after birth. Just look at the governor, former governor of Virginia. The governor of Virginia said, we put the baby aside and then we determine what we want to do with the baby.
President Trump, thank you.
All right, so number one, Vice President Harris, presidential candidate Harris, had her opportunity. She had her opportunity to say, of course there would be restrictions. Of course I'm against late-term abortions. Of course no third trimester abortions except for the rarest case of the life of the mother. She could have said something like that. Instead, she denied the reality. She denied that abortions were taking place in the 9th month under Roe v. Wade. They were. Or the 7th or 8th month, she looked incredulously, like, no, of course not. Just like he didn't answer questions directly, she didn't answer questions directly. This was her time to say, absolutely, categorically, no, there would be restriction. I am not for no restrictions. I'm saying no to that. I'm saying yes to certain restrictions. She could not and would not say that. Her abortion policies have been radical. Make no mistake about it. She had the opportunity to respond, and she did not. She denied the reality. And again, the question that should have been asked is, would you sign into law the Born Alive Protection Act? Would you sign that into law? Yeah, I get it. No, I don't get it because I'm not a woman, so I don't want to say I get it. I get the argument that here's a woman traumatized, wants to have an abortion. She can't have it in her state. She's got to travel to another state to get an abortion. Adds to the trauma. But the vast majority of abortions are convenience. The vast majority of abortions are simply based on a choice that pregnancy wouldn't help now or it's not the best time to bring a child into the world, or it's going to affect my career, or oops, we didn't plan on pregnancy now. That is the great majority of abortions. So let's not call this health care. Let's talk about the baby in the womb, compassion on the baby in the womb. As for IVF, yes, it's true. President Trump has been outspokenly for IVF. You say, why is it even controversial? It's controversial because on the one hand, it's allowed many people to get pregnant that couldn't. So they're going to be eggs taken from a woman that are fertilized. And then, okay, now you've got all the fertilized eggs. So these are all life has begun in these eggs. Now you're going to take one of them and plant it in the mother's womb. Now she can have the baby. That's IVF, in vitro fertilization. But what happens to the other eggs? They ultimately get discarded. That's why it's a divisive issue. It's not as black and white as abortion for many pro-lifers, but it's a divided issue. So it could be under certain laws that have been passed in states that it's banned. But again, that is the will of the people. The people, which consist of men and women, have voted things into law. The great battle is changing the heart and mind of the nation. The great battle is changing the attitudes. The great battle is getting people to look at the subject of abortion differently and to embrace a culture of life. And that can only come through the gospel, people being converted, then through teaching, education, and then through doing our best, educate the church, and then educate the world, so that people develop a moral conscience. That's ultimately how slavery was overthrown. You have my commentary, which was quite partisan in terms of pro-abortion, but in terms of my political views, it's actually nonpartisan. This was based on the moral issue. Now you decide how you vote. This is based on the moral issue, not being Republican or Democrat.
You can't run.